Namaste. Today I was seeing certain messages going around on Baba Ambedkar Jayanti, and as we know, his name is associated with the Dalit Varg and all these things. Now, it is justifiable and understandable that modern mind has discarded certain ideas which were there in the past. For instance, all are one, all are same, all are equal. This is something which modern education accepts. But what it has done is, it has washed away the baby with the bathwater. It has lost a whole side of knowledge, because of which we are entering into another confusion, as we can see happening in modern Europe with the kind of socialism that came into existence. So it has been believed that, by improving the, outer conditions, for instance, money and living conditions, you can change people. But from the yogic perspective, it is the state of consciousness that determines the outer condition in which we live, and vice versa also. So there is a whole side of knowledge which we need to understand, and that is that in all our transactions, outwardly, there is another transaction which is going on inwardly, of which we are completely, completely unaware. And it has led to so many confusions. So it continues today. I'll give you a recent example. For example, now we have this new thing about Corona. And yesterday only, I think you were saying that there is a long queue in which, your friend is waiting with all kinds of people. Now, though outwardly for us, all human beings are look alike, but inwardly there is a difference. Whether you like it or not, it is a fact of existence. And if you want to forget it, we do it at our own cost. But this difference has nothing to do with just the, outer qualification or a degree. It has to do with the state of consciousness in which we live. And in ancient times, because this knowledge was there, there was a tendency to preserve a certain type of humanity vis-a-vis a certain kind. Now, what were these two types of humanity? One was which was progressive, upward moving, having very, upward moving is not upscale, which had very noble and high ideals, which believed in, ascent of life, which believed that life should be lived in a noble way, in a beautiful way, in a divine way. It followed certain divine principles of life as it received, whether from the scriptures or from the sages and saints. Whereas there was another kind of humanity which didn't really believe in this kind of upward growth, and its law of life was eat, drink, be merry, be happy. The whole consciousness was living on a very degraded way. Now, forget about the four varna vyavastha and jati and all that discussion from a sociological perspective. That's not the idea. But purely from a consciousness point of view, Sri Krishna speaks in the Gita of these two kinds of humanity. Sri Krishna has completely simplified it. One is the Deva type and the other is the Asura type. So Deva type always place before themselves a goal which is higher than just their own selfish life. Always. They may think about the larger good, they may think about a higher existence. They want to do things according to a certain law which they want to understand. So the sattvic man, for example, will live according to certain principles, certain moral, ethical scriptures, whatever one has received. Whereas the asura type doesn't believe in all that. He believes that life is meant for enjoyment. So let's enjoy. And whatever way you can enjoy it, enjoy it. Live by impulse, the first impulse, and you express it. Doesn't matter. There is no consideration of time, place, person, anything. And the Gita describes as men of unclean doing and unclean minds. They are full of forces in the mind of which we are normally not aware, because human mind has also taught us the art of perfect deception. So in nature also hierarchy exists. So even in snake variety, you have a poisonous and a non-poisonous snake. Both look alike. You have horses and asses. They both look alike. Very similar to each other. They belong to the same family. Feline family. You have cats and tigers. But they don't intermix. And you know the fate if they intermix. What's going to happen. But in human beings, we have lost this knowledge. So everybody is same, everybody is same. So we live according to that. But it leads to so much confusion because there are people who live a degraded life, whether we like it or not, and they bring into the atmosphere forces which are very dangerous. At one place, mother's, there is a conversation of her where she was not in much favor of domestic helps walking into the house, into kitchen, bedroom, especially bedroom. She was very particular about it. And she says that they bring in hostile forces. And when there was an epidemic, she said that, you know, when as long as the domestic helps were not there and Sherubindo was there, there was no such epidemics. And one reason was this. But with the coming of families and children, domestic helps came. And they entered not only the kitchen, they entered the bedroom. And mother speaks about it that they bring in formations, they bring in all kinds of things, which on the surface we won't know. Because on the outside it's all smile and, you know, everything is good. Thank you, Saab. Thank you, Mem Saab. This is how the life is. But this knowledge is important and even till date it is valid. See, we talk about everybody is same and everything. But if you look at the ashram, the way it grew up at one point of time, and even now there is a validity, the ashram grew up in a way that people who were engaged in yoga, always if you see, this ashram grew up in a, though it is in the middle of city, in a town, but it was not like a free mixing anywhere with anyone. It had its own garima. Like you have a whole township, she created that if you want to see cinema, there is a, you know, we have a cinema hall. So the atmosphere and the consciousness was maintained. Long back when some children wanted to see cinema and they went in the town, then mother said, okay, she understood the impulse and she actually asked them to buy all the tickets just for few children. She didn't want this mixture. Because the moment you have this mixture, and she speaks especially about, you know, and it's not that they are bad people, it's not about bad or good, it's about a consciousness which is very degraded. They live in that kind of surroundings, many of them, you know, drink alcohol and, you know, they live that kind of life where personal pleasure and they call it joy. Now, this is a stage of evolution. It's nothing to be thought of as bad. But equally, now again, when you have pets, how much care mother and Sherubindo took of pets. But they never were like, okay, make a pet sleep into your room. If you really experience, if you ever have that experience, I've had that experience with a dog I really loved and cared for. And the only time I had to take it in was when, you know, people were taking away because of, you know, these municipality people. So I literally caught and brought to my room so that he escapes the municipality people. And as the dog slept and I slept in the afternoon, of course, on my bed, but I could sense it was a very, very, I could sense the entire energy field of the dog. It's a dog. It's not anything is wrong with it. It's a good dog. Everything is fine. But this kind of interchange, we need to understand that takes place between different layers of humanity, between animals and human beings. And if we, it's a knowledge, when we lose it, it's at our own peril. Lot of epidemics, lot of, you know, illnesses are the result of this. And this is what I thought. And she speaks about this happening. She gives an example, a very interesting example. There's a whole conversation where she speaks of, I'll just read a little bit. And she says, it's not at all the same as in the West, in Europe or America, not at all. Basically, the people in those countries are made of the same stuff as we are. But here, that's not the case. Now, this knowledge was lost because of the Mughal and the European invasion. We lost this knowledge because, you know, we started feeling we are very subordinate people. So we just picked up everything from there. And now if you talk about these things, you'll be regarded as somebody who doesn't, you know, who is not modern, who is somebody with an old kind of conventional thought. But truth is truth, you know. So Sri Krishna speaks about the Devasuri Sampada. And even like in the ashram, you don't have these, there is no caste system, nothing. But the mother did caution people with whom you interchange yourself actively, even food, even including the places you go. So we have to understand, she says that it's not that you have to isolate outwardly, but at least inwardly keep a certain reserve, keep a certain distance, keep a kind of natural barrier which prevents you from getting vulnerable. And as we grow into yoga, we become even more vulnerable. And there's a whole example in the ashram of the stones flowing, thrown into the ashram precincts, not within the ashram, but in one of the buildings, in the dining room. And then it was because there was a worker who was planted by one of the persons who became a medium. Now, when the consciousness is very small, very dark, people become easy medium and pray to forces. It's not that anybody wants to do it, but that's the state in which they are. So she says, but here that's not the case. Several places mother says that in India, the understanding of occult things, spiritual things was very, very developed. And one of the things she says, why people burn here? She says, because they were conscious that when you, when somebody dies, lot of such vital entities are around which are destroyed by fire. And she says that they knew it. And she speaks about the atmosphere of humans which is filled with filth, which is created by the thoughts and feelings. Because for centuries it never changed. A Brahmin, for example, always remained a Brahmin. A Kshatriya was always a Kshatriya. And all his servants were Kshatriyas. Actually, I think now people do not know, but sometime back, at least I know as I have grown up, the rasoiyas, people who entered the kitchen very intimately, they were also from the same, you know, they were Brahmins. It's a, yeah, they were like that because they were very good rasoiyas, by the way. But it was believed that the consciousness will be kept clean. This was the whole idea. It stayed in the family in the sense that in each caste, the servants, often poor relatives, belonged to that same caste. From a social standpoint, this might not have been too pleasant. She admits that, you know, it. You say, "Arey, kya hai divisions?" But as far as atmosphere was concerned, it was very good. This was changed, however, first by the Muslim invasion and then especially by the British. The British, you see, were served only by pariahs. In fact, it's Europeans who named them that. So in India, it was not like that. It was not that Dalits and Pariyas, not named like that. It was the Europeans who came and named. But they were not actually Pariyas by birth. They became Pariyas out of habit. I have studied the problem very closely. Because when you come from Europe, you bring all your European ideas with you and you don't know or understand a thing about the way it really is. I immediately came into contact with Brahmin servants and Pariya servants. But I didn't know that some were Brahmins and other Pariyas. Nobody had told me anything. It depended upon the people I was with and the places I went. But the contact, the atmosphere, she makes a gesture fingering the air, you know, I didn't even need to touch them physically. There was such a difference that I asked Shurbindo, but what is it? She could sense the difference in the atmosphere. So he explained the whole thing to me. So what we are receiving as a knowledge is something which Shubhendu himself spoke about. Even now, you know, people go to spas, anybody can give massage to anyone. This is something we need to understand. Close physical contact, even the atmosphere and close physical contact just with anyone and everyone, it's, you cannot have it if you want to take up this life. Otherwise, well, if one wants to remain, belong to the masses, it's perfectly fine. But there is a difference. You see, originally these parihas were people who took their delight, their pleasure in filth and falsehood. In crime, in violence and robbery, it was a joy for them. They had castes among themselves. There is still a caste of brigands nearby. I once went to their village to have a look. People who always keep a dagger on them. They love to play with daggers. They steal not so much out of need as out of pleasure. And dirty, they abhor cleanliness. And they will lie even if they have to contradict themselves 15 minutes later for the sheer delight of lying. And in olden times, I know about, you know, my own home, when people would come from outside, one of the first things was wash your feet and hands. There was nothing about corona. It just washed away those formations. wash it away. Similarly, when people came from Shamshan, because you carry that atmosphere, it was take a bath before you enter the house. I think some of us may remember this. Now that knowledge is completely gone. And it had its own meaning. What an atmosphere it created. It's palpable. And then she speaks about a woman here who was born among these people. She had been adopted by the French musician who composed the comic opera Mignon. They had come to India and found this little girl who at the time was very young. She was only 13. Quite pretty and nice. So they took her back to France with them as a nanny and treated her as one of their own children. She was cared for, educated, given everything, treated absolutely like one of the family. She remained there for 20 years. Moreover, she was gifted with clairvoyance. She had a faculty also. So you see, we can't go with all this, the person has the capacity to, see something of the future. And could tell fortunes by reading palms, which she did remarkably well. See, like a scientist, she is studying the problem. She even worked for a while in a cafe, the Molin Road, we know it's a famous place, or a similar place as a Hindu fortune teller. What a Maharani she was, with her magnificent jewels and beautiful as well. In short, she had completely left all her old habits behind. Then she returned to India and I took her in with me. I continued to treat her almost as a friend and I helped her to develop her gifts. Mapati, how dirty she started to get. Lying, stealing, and absolutely needlessly. She had money. So this idea that if you give money, these things will go away. She was well treated. She had everything she needed. She ate what we did. There was absolutely no reason when I finally asked her, but why? She replied, when I came back here, it took hold of me again. It's stronger than I am. That was a revelation for me. Those old habits had been impervious to education. It's a mother's real story and she is revealing to us. We think these peoples are the way they are because the environment is bad. This is how we normally say, if you change the environment. Though repeatedly in yoga, the mother reminds us, it is not circumstances that determine your consciousness. It is the consciousness that determines your circumstances. It's not true. In the universal economy of things, they represent something, a certain type of force and vibration. She is not saying they are bad or good. Just like a scientist observes. When you see a snake, you say this is poisonous, this is non-poisonous. You are not actually saying this is a bad snake or a good snake. You are simply observing so that we can understand and connect. So they represent something. It will have to be either dissolved or transformed. Then she says transformed. But perhaps that is, it may disappear along with the hostile forces. Perhaps once everything has been transformed, it will disappear. She is considering it with utmost compassion. She is saying that she actually tried that if this could be transformed. In any case, I really tried my best. With all the power I had, all the knowledge I had. Because I like this girl a lot. Look at the, she is so subtly revealing to us. She likes the girl. She wants her to change. Everything has been provided for her. And yet, she is reminding us. But I watched. It wasn't at all a question of charity. I found her very interesting. But I watched with a kind of horror. Really, as this past repossessed her more and more. More and more each day. Until we were finally obliged to dismiss her, to tell her, go. Yes, I understand, she replied. I can't stay here. She lived in France from the age of 13. And then the mother says, and naturally she had picked up very fine manners. The outer appearances were all there. All this is just to tell you that some contacts are not very favorable. As simple as that. And it's a yogic knowledge, like any knowledge. Like today we say, that if there is a corona, mother speaks of psychological contagion is much worse than physical contagion. So we say, somebody, and she says that when you have somebody like a tuberculosis patient or something, you isolate the person. You don't go start shaking hands and say, hello, how do you do, and start embracing. But here we don't realize, because it is under a mask of the same physicality, and we are not sensitive to these inner things. Because nowadays this is also a culture, new culture. Embrace anybody and, you know, just shake hands. In India, why this shake hand culture was not there so prominently? Because in India, this knowledge was there that when you shake hands, you are actually forming a connect. And it may look like a very innocuous gesture, but what you are doing actually, you have now joined you have become a bridge for the forces to go this way, that way. Now, if one lives in the mass, it doesn't matter. Even in blood, do you give sabka khoon ek hai? Don't you mix and match? I mean, at the most physical level, you do it. So in nature, these examples are there. You mix and match. Otherwise, there will be reactions. So the same thing applies here. And because of this knowledge in India, there was this concept of namaste from a distance. Or now this good thing is that, you know, on the heart you touch and say good morning. Because there is a, you know, otherwise. But see what comes from that culture. I myself, when I went first time to America, it took me time to understand what is it, anybody meeting anybody first time and nice embrace. And I said, kya hai? Anybody can just go about and embrace anybody. So it took me time to understand. First I thought, oh, some very close relatives. Then I realized it's nothing to do with anything. Just randomly, anyone can meet anybody and start embracing. Now, again, it doesn't matter if one wants to lead an ordinary life, it's life. You mix everything, we are part of the mass. But the moment one begins to take up spiritual life, these things begin to matter. And that's where she is cautioning us. And all this is just to tell you that some contacts are not very favorable. And I understand full well, I could never tolerate people like that coming into my room. Sometimes it would take me hours and hours to put things right. See, when mother's upstairs room was built, so there were only two persons who could go freely. Otherwise, later on, you know, only when she called, then people could come. We know Champaklalji and Pranabda and Vasudha Ben, who was taking care. Otherwise, it was not like, you know, anybody just walking in, of course, apart from any divine being, you see any of the spiritual masters. So this is something which it is not to isolate yourself physically and shut yourself in a room and imagine you are doing sadhana, not at all. And you go out into the world, but particularly a room. Why room specially? Because when people sleep, if there are formations and forces, you won't even know, because one is very vulnerable. So subconscious. So that's why in ashram, one of the things is you have friends, everything is there. But for sleeping, you have your own room. So that you have your own atmosphere. And she gives this as a solution. She says, create your own atmosphere. Then you are safe. When she speaks about the bad will affecting us, she says, unfortunately, there is so much bad will, unconscious bad will. And bad will is not like towards somebody. Imagine someone has passed on the road. It's like a bazaar. You go to a bazaar, you have not gone with the idea of buying something. And you may not even have the money. And suddenly the thought may come, "Are, we could have bought this." Thought comes. Where does it come from? It's all there as a formation. She speaks about the atmosphere of a city like Paris, long back. It's full of desires. So similarly, if somebody has passed by the road full of ill will, and then next you are the one who is crossing. So ill will is not saying it was thrown at somebody. It is unconscious force. Anybody who is open, it will enter. And you won't even realize. You'll say, "Arey, I washed all my hands, sanitized myself fully. I was wearing mask. I never met a corona patient. How did I get it?" It is precisely because we live unconsciously. Not only corona, all kinds of illnesses come this way. So what is the way? She says, "I am not saying that you isolate yourself, because that is impossible. Not advisable also. But," she says, "create your own atmosphere and live in it. And first step towards this is to individualize oneself. Make your choices. Don't be pushed by whoever says anything, just I'll go by that. Make your choices, conscious choices. Remember and offer to her everything. Then we are safe wherever we go. We are full of faith. That is the way to live. So she is not asking us again to start isolating people or anything like that. She is teaching us a knowledge which we have lost. A knowledge which is valid for all times until there is a transformation of consciousness. We have to be careful. There was a time when we had only a minimum of servants here and they always remained apart. We never had an epidemic. I don't know for how many years it was. People didn't die actually. For almost decades. While Sri Aurobindo was here, we never had a single case of an epidemic disease. It began when people started coming here with children. Necessarily, they brought their servants along with them, who went to the bazaar and even to the movies and here and there. Then everything came in. It's like formations which are brought in, truckloads. And then unless we are so conscious, but mother gives her own examples, she had to take hours sometimes to remove it. So we should be careful, conscious, vigilant. That's all she is saying. And that's why satsang. Now you see people talk about satsang universally accepted. What is satsang? When you meet people with similar aspiration, meet together, their aspiration builds up. That is satsang. Now, there is a, you know, for every such truth, there is the upward side. What is the upward side? Dussang. That's how Guru Nanak puts it. Kaam krodh sangati durjan ki. That's what Shri Krishna tells to Arjuna in the Gita. Stay away from those who are hostile. Now in with the liberal ideas, we'll say, what does it matter? Whether he's believer, not believer, whether he's hostile to God. All this is all intellectual togetherness. But Guru Nanak says, Kaam krodh sangati durjan ki. Taase ahanish bhago. There's a whole essay of the mother, our best friend. And she says, I have seen children with lot of promise. And they got totally lost and spoiled because of their company. And she has been stressing this several places. She says, and that's why she wanted a playground, everything, so that, you know, they could come together. People didn't understand when Dada said that, no, I don't allow anybody from. People didn't understand it. Because they said, Are, why is he trying to be isolationist? He was not isolationist. When he was asked, he said, I am only being a protectionist. This was his version. And quite so. He said, I don't want my children to mix with anyone and everyone because they will get contaminated. So this is a knowledge which we need to have. Now during those days, I am not saying it is still valid. During those days when Auroville had started, a lot of drinking and all these problems were there. So he knew it that if they come in, children will just catch it. It's occult knowledge which he had it. So we must be careful about the places we go, whom we meet. Yes, we'll have people who are working and all. We should be very kind and considerate and compassionate. We should know that divine is in all beings. At the same time, we should know that the nature, the pot, contains things which unfortunately are very dark and dangerous. And you can't change them. This knowledge cannot be given. So you be careful. Don't allow a free access anywhere and everywhere. And especially contacts of an intimate kind. Even WhatsApp contact. This is an interchange, by the way. We think it doesn't matter whom you receive and whom you get. It's an interchange which is going on all the time. Letters are interchanges. That's why when people ask something from Sri Aurobindo and Sri Aurobindo sent a reply, before they could receive it, they felt better. Why? Because this is a means. The moment he wrote it, an interchange has started. So people whom we communicate with, people whom we correspond with, there is an interchange. Of course, if you are developed again and again as an oak tree, if there's a work given to you, it's a different matter. But only then. Otherwise, it is, do it at your own risk. Namaste.